And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy!
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds!
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Bird to your mother, it's time for another episode of Birds with Friends. Just a trio of feathery brethren weathering any season to see the Eagles eat teams like Scrammy's top with cheese. It's Philadelphia, Bo, Sheila, and Zach kicking it cooler than three penguins till Zach runs off with his valet keys. He's a real nuanced goose. Pull up a branch, get loose. It's time for some juice on some
Birds with Friends.
The early bird gets the worm, but prefers getting turned like a turn on some
Birds with Friends.
Bo, Sheila, and Zach coming at you with steps and things, flapping their wings on
Birds with
How
friends.
Do you have time to consume all this content? You're listening to Dave Spadaro interviews?
I take a morning bike ride, and I listen
to I want to hear more about that, but go ahead.
No, the Schuylkill Trail.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah,
hello, everybody, and welcome to Birds with Friends on a Saturday afternoon. Bo Wolf, Zach Berman. We don't even have Marissa with us today. This is bound to be a disaster, Zach. How are you?
I'm doing well. Always enjoy a Saturday practice.
Do you?
I do. I do. It feels.
What does your family think about that?
They don't enjoy it as much as I do.
Okay.
But no, ever since Lehigh. I always enjoyed the Saturday practice.
Why? Let's unpack that.
It felt, you know, there were, well, back in Lehigh, there was often less traffic. There was.
That's true.
It was lighter. You know,
didn't have a family back then.
That's true. You often had your Sunday material filed for the paper. So, and then at the Athletic, well. These Saturday practices, I suppose, from our purposes, they're not much different than a Friday or a Sunday or a Thursday. I enjoy coming in on a Saturday. 76.
I could tell you. I could tell you enjoyed it. You showed up in your casual T-shirt today. You knew I was going to have to mention that.
I did not know you were going to mention that, but yes.
Yeah, you looked comfortable. Look good, play good, feel good. You know.
Correct. Right. Well, yep.
All right. Well, we will get to what we saw from today's action in the Quactus report. We will go to the defensive side of the ball and do our thumbing bird up, thumbing bird down. And then we'll see. We'll see if we have something else for the end of the show. We'll find out if the person we're trying to get in touch with is willing to talk to us or not. So why don't we get to the Quactus report? Zach, a day that was it good defense or bad offense?
I suppose it could go either way, maybe a little bit of both, but I thought it was a bad offensive day all around. There was one period where I have to go through my notes again, but I believe there was a whistled sack, if you will, and then five incompletions in a row, meaning like they did not move the ball at all on that series. Now, there were a few PBUs, so either the defense was doing an outstanding job breaking on the ball, and it might well be that. The coverage, the wide receivers were not getting separation. It might well be that. Or Jalen Hurts was not, he was late throwing the ball. It might well be that.
Design of the play was bad.
Or that. But it wasn't just the series, by the way. The ball was on the ground way too often. Practice is supposed to be a controlled setting. I understand the Eagles do ones-on-ones, so you are going against the top guys. And this offense isn't the same when it doesn't have Devontae Smith and it's missing some key pieces on the offensive line. We can get all those caveats out there. I still think that for 9 days or 9 practices in the camp, this was a concerning performance by the offense today.
I feel like concerning is maybe a little bit strong. I mean,
okay,
I do think that like this is a thing that happens in most training camps where like the defense has a good day. It's easier for the defense than it is for the offense during training camp. You know, it's not like I mean, he did throw an interception, Jalen Hurts did, to Eric Wilson, right? Yes. But I have a hard time getting super worked up about one bad practice.
I'm not getting worked up about it. I'm saying, like, they didn't complete a pass during it's...
Well, they're going to be serious when they go 3-and-out.
Sure, and you will kill them when they do that, right?
I don't know, maybe.
But this is a practice.
What are we talking about, Zach?
Look, I'm not going crazy about it. I'm just telling you what I observed today.
It wasn't great. It was a bad day for the offense for sure.
Yeah, Jimmy Kemsky wrote on Twitter that it was one of the worst offensive practices he's ever seen, and like I don't think that's hyperbole. There are days, you're right, when the defense is getting the better of them. Even earlier in camp, when the defense was getting better of them, the offense was still getting completions, right?
You know what else I think this is maybe a function of is, like, we've seen a lot of times when the offense is getting completions because it's just checking down to a running back. So maybe the goal today was to not do that, was to give your receivers a chance to win, and that didn't work. Like, sure.
There's always reasons for this. We didn't speak to Nick Sirianni. We didn't speak to Shane Steichen. There might be a plausible explanation for it. I'm not overreacting. I'm just as we said with
you're Shield, just reacting.
Yeah. Well, we're the eyes and the ears of the fans. This is what happened at the Saturday practice. It doesn't mean this is what's happened for 9 consecutive days.
That it will have any impact on what
exactly
will happen during the season.
It's just this is what happened at practice today. And again, like we've said throughout the week or throughout the past 2 weeks, the offense is different when Jalen Hurts is moving around and there's broken plays and you have scramble drill. The offense will obviously be different when Devontae Smith is out there. You know, he's your number one receiver for a reason. So this is not like the offense they had on the field on August 7th is not the offense that I assume will be out on the field on September 13th, I believe, is the season opener.
It better be if they want to protect that left guard spot.
So Opeta was out there at left guard, Jack Driscoll at right guard. But I'm saying they didn't complete a pass on that.
I mean, they didn't complete a pass in a 5-play stretch. That's not that. I mean, it was tough to watch, but it's not like the craziest thing in the world. I think part of it is that also, like, the practices are shorter, right? So there are fewer periods. So if they have a couple bad periods, it's going to seem like it's the whole practice, which it is. Sure. But, you know, if they had longer practices, maybe they'd have a chance to make some more plays.
Sure. Sure. So
I'm just playing contrarian.
My biggest takeaway of practice today was that the offense has a lot of work to do, or this defense is going to be like impossible to complete a pass against this year. You know, they're going to break on every ball. They're going to get their hands on things. And that well might be the case. Like, I do think, you know, we were talking to Shio about this over text. This defense doesn't have any first or second year players in their starting lineup, right? This is an experienced defense. That has a lot of talent up front, a lot of experience on the back end. So this and we both agree we're impressed with what we've seen from Jonathan Gannon so far too. So this might turn out to be a very underrated defense. And I will also say that Sirianni, I mentioned that Sirianni does ones versus ones. Andy Reid didn't usually do ones versus ones, and I imagine a part of the reason was because you want to build up, you know, confidence in your group, right? Like, you don't want something like this to happen. I remember there was a Dolphins practice one time that I read about where Ryan Tannehill threw all these interceptions, and the coaches were telling the defense to, like, relax a bit because, you know, they didn't want to mess with Tannehill's confidence. Maybe they need to go out there tomorrow and have, like, the ones against the threes, you know, when the fans are there and Jalen Hurts looks outstanding. But that was my biggest takeaway. What else in the Quactus report? We should say a new injury. John Hightower, week to week, a groin injury.
Going to be tough. Going to be tough to make the clump in the tump.
Yes. Wide receiver and linebackers are the positions that have been hit the hardest, it seems like. Alex Singleton. Speaking of linebackers, Alex Singleton is back, but Jannard Avery is day-to-day. Sean Bradley is day-to-day. So, excuse me. So the
Singleton jumped right in with the ones next to Eric Wilson.
Yes.
Which was interesting.
Yes.
It makes sense. He's making up for lost time reps wise. Correct. But slightly.
They also don't really have anyone else.
Slightly interesting. They've got T.J. Edwards.
True. Although they really don't like T.J. Edwards in passing situations. T.J. Edwards has been like an exclusively base look.
That's player. Not true. He's been the only linebacker on the field with the twos a lot.
But I'm saying with the ones.
With the ones, yeah. Well, yeah. Because with the ones, it's mostly Eric Wilson.
He's been coming off.
But yeah. When he is, you're right. I mean, when it is a day where it's Wilson and Edwards, Edwards comes off.
Yes.
But with the twos, Edwards is the one who stays on as the dime linebacker.
Correct.
Yeah, some shuffling with the offensive line. We wanted to see, you know, you take your step back after that set of four practices. What do we change? Nate Herbig moves from first team left guard to second team center, which is interesting. You could read that as we've seen enough of him at left guard. Let's give somebody else a shot. Or you could read it as, is Herbig going to be our swing guy? Can he be the backup center? Let's get him some reps at center. He was replaced by my boy, Sua Opeta, at left guard. And then also very interesting, Matt Pryor has been the first team right guard with Brandon Brooks out. He was replaced today by Jack Driscoll. And Driscoll has not had reps at guard in any team drills through the first eight practices. He's taken a few one-on-one reps there, but he moved inside today. So two new guards for the offensive line. Driscoll, I think it's interesting. I think they sort of would want him to be, we've talked about it in the past, like the Vitae. Dickerson being healthy changes the calculation there, changes what exactly you need from your top backup. But if Driscoll can settle in at guard, that would be helpful for them and for him.
I agree. It'll make him more valuable on game day. I do have
and his
a question.
His first rep in one-on-ones today up against Fletcher Cox. That was like a welcome to the NFL type deal. Fletcher Cox just clubbed right, like a Reggie White club just right past him. Very easy. And then later on, Javon Hargrave drove him back. So, you know, Hargrave and Cox is a little different than, I guess, Jaquan Bailey, who he's been going up against a lot.
Correct. The Herbig thing, I'm curious if you think if it's real, because I was speaking to someone on the sideline today.
Flex.
who speculated that could there be anything about Atlanta Dickerson with this? Like, are they thinking Dickerson might not be ready for the beginning of the season and Herbig is their backup center going into the year?
Well, I'm not so sure that I expected Dickerson to be the backup center to begin with.
Okay.
I was sort of expecting him to be starting at guard. I mean, center is there's a lot that goes into that, obviously, and he has not practiced at all. He doesn't know the offense that well. So I was always expecting that was going to be the second part of his development. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think, like, if Landon Dickerson misses the entire summer, like, are you going to make him your top interior offensive line backup week one without any practice? That's a lot to ask.
He is a second-round pick who has a lot of experience, but, no, it's a fair point. It was posed to me more in terms of, is he going to be back for the beginning of the season, or is he going to be on NFI to begin the regular season?
Right.
Right? Because if that's the case, you're looking at least 6 weeks without him.
Yeah.
And by that point, by the time he starts practicing with you and
takes a couple weeks.
Exactly. So you're probably not looking at until November, December when you have him active on game days and if everything goes on schedule. So perhaps that's what it is.
I think that they are in a position where they need to prioritize developing him over what's best for the short-term roster management. Meaning, I don't think they should put him on NFI because I think they should be willing to get him onto the practice field as soon as they can, even if it means losing one guy on the back end of the 53-man roster. This is not a team with like Super Bowl aspirations. Obviously, their marching orders should be to do the best player development they can. I don't know. What do you think? You could argue that what is two practices, 2 weeks of practice really going to change about his long-term outlook? But
I would say tell Lane Johnson and Fletcher Cox and Jason Kelsey and
Jeffrey Lurie did
Zach Ertz that they don't have Super Bowl aspirations.
He did. He told them that when he fired Doug Peterson.
Yeah. It's a transition
year.
So
I'm not the one that needs to tell him.
True. That's true. So I agree with you on Dickerson. Although, look, you don't make that pick to have him ready on September 13th. But if he starts the season on NFI, like, it's not that much different than Sidney Jones's rookie year. Sidney Jones started practicing week 14, week 15, right? He was active for week 17.
They're different injuries. Like,
no, I recognize that. But if you rewind to draft night, Howie Roseman said, this
not
is
a red
not
shirt
a redshirt year.
Right.
This is not Sidney Jones. This is not Sidney Jones. If he starts the season on NFI, he can't practice, you know, right. Well, he's not eligible to return until after week 6. I know it's an 18-week season now, not a 17-week season now, but even then, like, that's the, you know, the first time he's practicing with you isn't until a few weeks into the season. Now, I always take the perspective of, like, don't overstate these college injuries from the development perspective in terms of time missed, because if he was completely healthy and he gets hurt his first day of practice, or, you know, he's like Devontae Smith, then you don't have him during training camp either, right? So you have to look at, is he going to recover? What is he going to be when he recovers? And what's he going to be over that 4 or 5 year period that you're looking at? But they were outspoken about the fact that this is not a redshirt season. So again, that's probably 3-4 minutes on Landon Dickerson we didn't need to go down.
Well, I noticed today that he was not in a brace, but he was not working to the side. He was just watching practice. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that is a development or if it was just he was had the day off, basically.
Day off after the day off, yes.
Yeah, good point. okay, anything else stand out from practice for you? For the more granular details, of course, we can read your report on The Athletic later.
Sure. Well, we should say Jalen Hurts' birthday turns 23 years old.
Should we say that?
Yeah.
He is young.
Exactly. That's what I was about to point out is, like, I believe he's younger now than Carson Wentz was when the Eagles drafted Carson Wentz.
That makes sense.
Carson Wentz was 23, turned 24, I believe, on December 30th that year. So hold on. Sorry.
It's quite all right. Is this the call?
Is it the call? Oh, no.
Is this the call you've been waiting for?
No, it's not. No, it's not the call I've been waiting for. But I apologize. I got, when you get two a back-to-back missed calls from your wife, you get worried, right? So she called once. I declined because we're on a podcast. Calls again. And then you're saying, what's, so then you text. And then it turns out that, I said I'm on a podcast, and I got the oh sorry.
Oh, so. Okay. Well, it could have been
behind
the
scenes.
It could have been a unnecessary thing. Yeah,
exactly.
You did the right thing.
Yes. So So Jalen Hurts, young for the position.
Now, did you say you're on a podcast or like the podcast? Because when you say you're on a podcast, it makes it sound like you might be on someone else's podcast.
I don't think I put an article in there. I just put on podcast.
On podcast. Interesting. Nice brevity. Okay.
Yes, exactly.
I think that gets the point across. Yeah.
Yes. So Jalen Hurts turns 23 today. Young guy, as we established. And what else jumped out? Look, Eric Wilson, that was a really nice interception. Read that play. Hurts scrambled to his right. Wilson was reading it the whole way, showed good ball skills there, was impressed by that. I also think Steve Nelson's been doing a good job with PBUs.
He's been good
getting in there. Same thing with Anthony Harris. Those three guys, I think, are going to be good additions to this defense.
You know, Harris has been interesting because he gets killed in one-on-ones. That's not really his job necessarily, but every day he's getting toasted by, like, Tyree Jackson or like Jack Stoll is beating him one-on-one. So
that's why he's a corner and
not his job.
That's why he's a safety, not a corner.
Well, those are tight ends. Like, you know, they're not wide receivers. But yeah, I mean, obviously it matters more what he's going to do in team drills.
Correct.
He's been fine. Okay.
And then other than that, Josh Sweat, another good day. Just, I think we need to keep pointing that out. I mean, we might as well. We might as well.
It's like, I mean, it's like Ray Dittinger coming home from work one day and saying Reggie White had a good practice today. Like, of course he
exactly.
did. It goes without saying.
How about this? I will point out when Josh Sweat doesn't stand out.
Okay.
Yeah, we will. It might be like November when he has a day off, but right. I will point out when Josh Sweat doesn't stand out. And then, I didn't think the receivers were very good today.
No.
I thought Ertz was solid on, he made a few plays downfield. I was thinking to our conversation the other day, Goddard's somebody who like, he's never in my notes for
very quiet camp.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I totally agree. I don't know. I don't see that, like, it's not like a dominant part of the offense.
So you guys were, you and Shiel, when I say you guys, you and Shiel were doing a good job getting inside Zach Ertz's mind last Saturday. Do you think in, like, Dallas Goedert's mind, he showed up and he's like, this again? It's been like 3 years I think
you're right.
This and now this is happening again.
Oh, my God, again.
Exactly. Oh.
When am I just going to be the guy?
Exactly. Yeah. They would tell me the whole
offseason.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Zach.
Exactly.
Zach, good to see you. Hey, Carl. Yeah. No, I think there is probably something to that. Oh, yeah. Zach, it's great to be with. It's great to be with one of the best tight ends in the league. We balance each other out. We learn from stuff from each other. It's really all for the best. Yeah, sure.
He's been getting asked about
sure, Dallas.
It's year four of it, right?
It's the end of his rookie contract.
Exactly.
His whole contract's going to be up.
He must be like, what's going on here? You told me in our exit meeting, right?
He said he was gone.
Exactly.
He got in a fight with the GM before the season even started. What's he doing here?
Exactly. Yeah. I do wonder if there's some of that with Dallas Goedert when he ran the wrong way in the conditioning drill because he was trying to tell Zach Ertz to go somewhere else.
Right. Yeah. His head was in a different place. Going to show up with the dyed red hair or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's good.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
All right. Should we blitz through the Hummingbird up and down on the defense?
Sure. Everybody's up.
Everybody's up.
No, let's blitz through it.
Okay. Let's start at defensive end. Josh Sweat, Hummingbird up.
Are you kidding me? I mean, his thumbs aren't big enough, right?
Wow.
Yeah,
Joshua. Well, I mean, birds are small. Derek Barnett.
Sideways.
I'd go down. Mm-hmm. I'd go Hummingbird down. I think it's fair to say he hasn't been great. Ryan Kerrigan.
Well, he's hurt right now with a thumb injury, by the way. So yeah. His thumb isn't going.
He's literally Hummingbird down. He's exactly. Got the thumb down.
You know
he's
what?
Down a thumb.
I'll do 30 seconds on Kerrigan here because I was talking about this with somebody today. You know, they're trying Avery, Ostman, Patrick Johnson in that stand-up rusher role. Why aren't they trying Kerrigan there, right? They're really – their top three with the ends is strong. I understand you want four, but it would make sense to try Kerrigan in that role.
I agree. I'm surprised – now, it could be the kind of thing where, like, they know, they exactly. think they know that he can do it. But it is weird. Yeah. I mean, he also hasn't been practicing. Maybe exactly. the plan was for them to do it this week. But, I mean, they also do need four defensive ends. That's
sure. But the thing is, they viewed Milton Williams almost like a DN this year.
Yeah. So. Well, he's playing both.
Yes. But,
okay. Fair enough. Brandon Graham.
I guess thumb up because
he's. Thumbing bird up. He's healthy.
Yeah. And he makes plays. Like, he's yeah. in that backfield. Yeah.
Teron Jackson, thumbing bird up or down?
Sideways.
I'd go, yeah. I think sideways is fair. If forced to choose, I'd go slightly up.
Okay.
He flashes a little bit. A little bit. Jaquan Bailey.
Down. I mean, he's not. Well, that seems kind of rude to Jaquan. Like,
yeah.
Relative to my expectations, sideways.
Yeah, I'd say so. Thumbing bird up for me because I thought he was like, you know, he came in as like the worst athlete at any defensive end from the past few drafts. So he's been okay. He's got a chance to make some plays in the preseason. Fletcher Cox.
Guess thumbing bird up. I mean, he's been healthy. He's here. He yeah. had that 2018. I mean,
the fact that he's camp. Healthy is really all yeah. that matters.
He so had the was it 18 or 19 when he just didn't practice it? I think it was 19 where he didn't practice the whole camp.
That remember might be, that? Yeah, I think that's yeah. right. Yeah. Javon Hargrave, I'll go big thumbing bird up.
Yes.
He's been very good.
I agree. This is Javon they gave 3 years, $30 million to.
Mm. Right. Hassan Ridgeway.
Hassan Ridgeway, sideways.
I'd go sideways too. Yeah. He is what he is. He's a fine player. I think they'd like for somebody to be better than him, and I don't think they have anybody better yet.
By the way, for I said 3 years, $30 million. I believe it was 3 for 36. Correct.
I don't know off the top of my head.
Yeah, I believe that's what it was.
That's the one thing that I don't have, like in relation to the team that I don't have encyclopedic knowledge of is like the contract numbers. It doesn't move the needle for me. It's all fake money.
I can see that. No, it's not fake money. Well. I mean, see, those checks are going in their accounts, right? So,
T.Y. McGill, a thumbing bird up or down? I'll go sideways. Up only because okay. you know, nobody expects him. He's 28 years old, but
you are
I don't
such
think
an
he's
going to
make the team.
You are such an ageist. It's like, tough. What's the age for you? Is there a certain number for you where, like, you've just – you're totally going south on the guy if he's past this age.
Well, what part of their career?
No, like you feel this guy can't develop anymore.
Oh, I mean, 28 is past the age of development.
To me, you're getting better every day, right? Like you're either getting better or you're worse. You're not staying the same. So, yeah, you can find ways to improve your game at 31, 32, 33.
Well, yeah, but your body's also declining. Like, and it's also it's just like an investment question for the team. Like,
oh, sure.
Who cares if you're Howie Roseman? Who cares if T.Y. McGill has a chance to get a little bit better this year?
Because the games are won on the margin sometimes, right? If he's X percent better than someone else who can be on the field, that can be the difference between
right. But if T.Y. McGill
a 2 yard gain,
but if T.Y. McGill is just a little bit better than Marlon Tuipulotu right now, but you have control of Tuipulotu for 4 years, and you have he has a chance to get better than T.Y. McGill
sure.
will ever be. Obviously, you would rather have that, right?
I would. Correct.
Okay. Tui, I go with thumbing bird a little bit down.
I go thumbing bird down as
it,
well.
It has not been, like these are not the best ways to judge him. Like he's not ever going to be like a pass rushing dynamo. He's there to just move the pocket, and you're not going to get to see that super well in training camp, especially when it's not live. But I've been a little underwhelmed.
yeah, someone said to me they might be trying to hide him. And I said, from what? From us? Like, you know, it's not like other teams are watching this film.
Right.
Right. So
Raekwon Williams.
Shield was not very high on Raekwon, right?
No, he loved him. He batted down two Joe Flacco passes.
That's right. That's right. So then give me up on Raekwon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll go with Thumbing Bird to the side.
Okay.
How about Milton Williams?
You want to be a contrarian?
Milton Williams.
Thumbing Bird up now, as you've
discussed. Oh, I go Thumbing Bird down.
As you've discussed, those arms don't go very high, but still, you've been down on Milton Williams?
Yes.
He's been a good athlete. He's been versatile.
Yeah, he's been versatile, but he hasn't done that much. Like, I don't know that he's ready to step in as the third defensive tackle on passing downs. Or,
fair.
Like, do you really want to see him on the field as a defensive end when you've got Barnett or Kerrigan as a backup? No, true. Right?
No. So, well, you definitely don't want to take Josh Sweat off the field.
Right. So I'd go a little bit down on Milton. Okay, let's get to those. Let's get to those Sams. Jannard Avery.
Sideways.
I'd go up because I think a water gun to the armpit. I would think that he's leading that race.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. Ostman.
Up. Why not?
Okay.
I go
probably sideways. I mean, okay. He's had better training camps.
True, that's true. Well, Jordan Mailata is better now. So
that's true. And Patrick Johnson. Very anonymous.
You know what, though? When he blitzes, he looks good. So.
Okay. If you say so.
He did. He took some first-team snaps today.
Yeah. Well, they always rotate in.
Yes.
Eric Wilson. As we move to the other linebackers.
So if we did this a week ago, I probably would have said down. I would have been like, why is Eric Wilson your second team Mike linebacker today?
Right.
But I'm going up. You know, I think he's been the best linebacker, which isn't saying much, but.
I think that's fair to say. No argument. Davion Taylor. Interesting one.
Well, we were up and now we're down.
I think
right?
You got to go down, right?
Yeah.
He's in a boot.
Yeah. He had a week of training camp. You can't.
He's in a boot.
Exactly. Exactly. So there's going to be, yeah.
TJ Edwards. I like TJ Edwards. I think he's not a bad player.
I like TJ Edwards too, as a guy, and as a player. But
I think he does stuff. I go Thumbing Bird up.
Okay. Okay. I won't dispute it.
Alex Singleton.
Down. In practice.
You got to go Thumbing Bird down. I mean,
practices.
Yeah. How about Rashad Smith? What can you tell me about Rashad Smith, Zach?
They got him from the Chiefs, right?
Sounds right.
Isn't he with? Am I wrong? Or you made a face there. We are
no,
not.
I didn't make a face.
We are on video here. We don't usually do this on video for the audio ones, but without Marissa, we are on StreamYard. So
no, not from the Chiefs.
Not
from
the Chiefs,
Cowboys and the Bears before that.
God. Okay. So I'm glad you fact checked me then.
Born on April 20th.
Was there a Smith they got from the Chiefs?
Devontae.
They didn't get him from the Chiefs. They got him from the Crimson Tide. So, I guess Thumbing Bird sideways for Rashad. I mean,
I think that's fair. I'd go Thumbing Bird down. He hasn't done. Yeah. He hasn't done anything.
He has not been in my notes at all. So,
how about Jacoby Stevens to close out the linebackers? That's not true.
He was up, and then he had. And then he had
the
injury. Sorry. I was just looking up Rashad Smith. Rashad Smith's in. So if you go to his Wikipedia, he's in the Eagles jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah. He played week 17. That's right.
That's against Washington. Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
That's not Moses Foku.
No, it's not. So Jacoby Stevens, look, I thought he had two good days of practice and then he got hurt.
Got to go thumbs down.
Got to go thumbs
down.
Need
that time.
Injurious.
And then Sean Bradley. I go Thumbing Bird down. I feel like you were hoping for a little.
Yeah, I feel like the
little bump the myth in here too.
The myth of Sean Bradley is sometimes better than the player Sean Bradley.
What is the myth of Sean Bradley?
Well, like last year, I vividly recall. Once again, I use vividly a little too
okay.
too freely. I recall kind of behind the scenes chatter that that he was going to be that he's like the late round pick who's ready to play, right?
Right.
And that they'll watch out for him in camp. And then I don't think the former staff thought the rookie linebackers were ready to play. And frankly, I don't know if like the evaluation was that unkind. If well, actually, perhaps they are ready to play and they just need more practice time. But I thought we would see a little more juice from Sean Taylor. Oh, I'm sorry, from Sean Bradley right now.
I agree. Well, I mean, linebackers are tough though. Like we'll see what they do in the games. It's hard.
Sure.
Practice is hard. All right, let's move to the secondary as we speed through. Darius Slay, Thummingbird down, but probably doesn't matter. Steve Nelson, I'd go Thummingbird up, as we've talked about. Zach McPherson, an obvious Thummingbird up. Avante Maddox, I was talking today, he's had a very quiet camp, but quiet for a corner is probably good, right?
Agree with that. And I thought Darius Slay actually put it well. He's where he belongs. Slay said that last week
about the slot.
Yeah, he's where he belongs. And so...
Darius Slay is such an unserious person. Just not going to win with that guy.
We will see.
Craig James.
Thummingbird down?
I don't have a strong
Craig James take.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd go Thummingbird to the side.
Okay.
How about Michael Jacquet?
Side?
He had a nice breakup today. In those team drills, I'll go to the side too. Leaning potentially up, I think he's been okay. Josiah Scott, you like a Josiah Scott?
I do.
So do I.
Give me up for Josiah Scott. Mount Union scouting will.
Okay, I agree. Kevon Seymour.
Down, but good quote.
Yeah, right? I go Thummingbird down as well. Lavert Hill had a pick six today.
Yes. Yeah, Michigan by Detroit, right? We did that in the last pod.
That's right.
So does he get up based on today's performance?
That was the first play I've seen him make all camp.
Okay.
I don't know. Do you disagree?
I guess sideways.
Okay.
Yeah, it was the first play I saw him make all right. in camp.
Almost done, Zach. Hold on to your horses.
I'm enjoying this.
Grayland Arnold.
He's also banged up, by the way. Yeah. We should have mentioned that.
I would go Thummingbird down. I think he has. Do you remember how much Howie Roseman was gazzing up Graylin Arnold last year?
Oh, big time.
In the offseason? Like, yes. He, in every interview he did, he was talking about how much they loved Graylin Arnold.
Yes, and...
That was so weird.
And Graylin Arnold made my squad for the Foot Squad draft.
Oh, yeah, that's
Don't you
right.
remember? I took him over... I took him over a handful of guys, right?
You took him over Elijah, for sure.
Yes.
And I think Elijah's been better, but... Okay. Yeah, I go down for Graylin Arnold. He's been underwhelming.
Don't tell Howie that.
Yeah. How about Elijah Riley?
He blitzed today, right? On that last play, I believe.
I didn't see. Yeah. I was watching Huntley catch the pass.
Okay.
But that's all your answer? I'd go slightly
you're
up.
The resident Elijah
slightly
Riley.
Up. He gets a lot of reps with the twos, and I think he does okay. Anthony Harris?
Up.
Down for me.
Okay.
Kayvon Wallace.
Up.
I go
the
up
first
too.
Team safety.
Not every day. And he splits with Marcus Epps. They both get reps there. But I think he's been okay. I'd go slightly up on Kayvon Wallace, who I was generally a little bit more down on than you were.
Also a member of my Flit Squad team.
There's
a trend here.
Yeah, a bad secondary. Marcus Epps.
Sideways.
I think that's fair. Andrew Adams, who we heard from for the first time, said he had COVID.
Correct. I would
tough to go
down.
Tough to go Thummingbird up on a guy who said he had COVID in practice for the first time like 3 days ago. But he's been thrown into the mix.
Exactly. Well, he's a veteran. He has a Super Bowl ring, right? So
well,
also a member of my Flit Squad team.
Oh, my gosh. And, you know, he said the thing about how this defense is a good fit for his skill set. And so I asked, what does that mean? Like, why? What about the defense is good? And he said, well, I can play in the box and I can play deep. So I can do it all. That's basically why. Oh, okay.
You know, he practiced with Tom Brady last year. he's not used to seeing the ball hit the ground as much as it did today.
No, I know that's right. Okay, and we close it out, Zach. This is a big one. Obi Melifonwu.
Well, he's hurt right now. So, and he just joined the team. So I would say down based on...
Thumbing bird down, yeah.
They add him. But I'll tell you what.
You have to just like, think like...
He's a get-off-the-bus player.
Well, yeah. But which is like, right? You have to just think, how bad must this guy be if he like he looks like this and can't get a job?
Like, you see this guy and like... You can tell why the Raiders of all teams right. wanted him second in the
second round. Yeah,
exactly. Like he looks the part, right? He if you were into like Taylor Mays coming out of USC,
good one,
right? You know he's like legit 6'4" here. He's built. He's got the size and the length, but hasn't done much for the Eagles yet.
Fair to say. All right, Zach. Thus concludes the very exciting edition of Thumbing Bird Up and Thumbing Bird Down. Why don't we take a minute to talk to our sponsors, the people who are making it all happen.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right. Well, we are back and we are very pleased to be joined on the phone by one of the biggest stars in the business, in the industry. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show, national reporter, Sheil Kapadia. Sheil, how are you?
Well, I've been waiting for this call for like 2 hours. Now I'm 10 minutes away from my destination and you're giving me a call. So your timing is not great, but I'm good. It has been like the nostalgic drive for me, you know, from Owings Mills to now nearly State College, where I passed Cockeysville, which is where my wife, you know, used to live when we first started dating. So that was a little trip there. Then went through, I think I saw more of Harrisburg today than I did when I lived there for 7 months. And, shout out to hashtag BWF Road Trip. For the person, and I can't remember who it is, so it's really terrible attribution, who gave me the recommendation to stop at the Cornerstone Coffee House in Camp Hill, PA. Have you ever been to a Camp Hill, PA? Anybody?
I don't think so.
I've not.
A nice little downtown area. You know, you just pull up, head in there, get some avocado toast and a latte, and then you're on your way after that.
Nice. Now, what have you been doing on the listening?
The millennial front? Dream right there.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah, you know, I wish I didn't like the avocado toast because of the like connotation, but listen, it's delicious.
Now, what have you been doing on the listening front from hashtag BWF Road Trip?
Nothing from the recommendations yet, because my usual array of podcasts have not been exhausted yet, but I'm sure that will happen very soon. I've got another, 3 hours or so in the car tomorrow. So I think that's when I'll be jumping into some of those.
This is interesting. I mean, this is the Sheil Kapadia trip. I mean, the two places where you might be more highly regarded than anywhere else in the world, State College and Owings Mills. What was it like going back to, the place where you, I assume, are feted every time you get there? Did you get the key to the city at Owings Mills?
It was good. The castle, as they call it there, had a little conversation with John Harbaugh
about flex.
The state of the team. You know, I think he knew who was interviewing him because he name dropped Jim Johnson like about 90 seconds into the interview. So he wanted to make sure we get that Philadelphia Hook in there. I think he basically said we're running Jim Johnson's defense here. So I'll be writing about that for Monday for The Athletic. And, you know, I don't know what State College thinks of me. They don't call me to come back. You know, I don't make any of these magazines that they send out. Mm. I haven't won an award or anything from them. So it's not like Zach at Syracuse with me in Penn State.
That's good. Let's put State College on notice. Give Kapadia the respect he deserves.
Have you had the national reporter moment in Baltimore yet? Or I guess, did you, where, like, you know, you are about to write, I don't know why these guys here aren't saying it, but Malik Harrison is going to take the jump this year, right? Like, is there a guy you saw for two practices and you don't know why he's not getting gassed up enough?
Malik Harrison was actually at the podium today, Zach. So nice job out of you. No, because as you know, we have a terrific Ravens beat writer,
yes,
Rebeck, who knows that team inside and out. So I basically just hung with him the whole time, and I would, you know, maybe state an observation and then see if he thinks I'm on base, off base, if it's just, well, yeah, that's happening today, but that hasn't happened other times. And so, no, I'm not doing that. I am going to write something about the Ravens, a little notebook type thing for Monday, but I will not jump to any of those conclusions.
So just in general, Sheil, you know, because we are always so, you know, singularly focused on Eagles practice, and today was like the offense was bad, the defense dominated, they couldn't complete a pass. What was it like? Like, what's the atmosphere like at Ravens practice? And, like, are they allowed to complete passes when they are having team drills?
Yeah, I would say, you know, in terms of atmosphere, I would say it's not that different. You know, in terms of, like, you don't go to an Eagles practice and then go to a Ravens practice and think, man, they're doing this completely different, the two teams. So I wouldn't say anything there is that different. In terms of the offense, apparently they were having a bunch of those days, but that was with Trace McSorley, mm-hmm, and Tyler Huntley, I believe is the other gentleman's name there at quarterback, because Lamar Jackson was out. Now Lamar Jackson was back today. And so, you know, yeah, they completed some passes. It doesn't always look totally crisp. You know, Jeff Zrebeck was actually making the point to me that he was saying kind of what we said about Jalen Hurts, where he, you know, to a much, much, much different degree, but he said Lamar never, like, looks unbelievable in practice, you know, because it's like, you're practicing all these sort of, passing concepts, and it's not like he's running around and scrambling and making second reaction plays. And so when he moves, certainly you see that, but he's not somebody who's going to complete like 15 in a row. And then I brought up the infamous Ravens Eagles joint practices, of course, to him there, Bowen, that, yeah, we, you know, somebody I work with had made that observation previously.
Well, it's something to keep in mind for Jalen Hurts, like the hand wringing over Jalen Hurts's practice performance.
Sheil, if you attended a practice and in six consecutive plays of the first team offense versus the first team defense, there was a play blown dead for a sack and then five incompletions. Would that, and someone said afterwards, it's concerning the way the offense looked. Would you take umbrage with the word concerning?
Well, if it was, you know, I think you guys have context. You've been to every practice. So if it was just one, you know, if this was one day and there were other days where the offense looked great and the offense isn't coming, I know it's a different regime, but the offense isn't coming off a season in which they were 28th in DVOA. You know, if you didn't have all those factors, then maybe I would say, you know, chill out. Like, you know, like if Patrick Mahomes had that session, then obviously it would be silly to voice any concern, but this is a new staff, a relatively new quarterback. And so I would think that, in the context of what we've talked about before, where the ball's hitting the ground and Richard Rodgers is making diving catches in routes on air, it would be perfectly reasonable to criticize them and ask if it's concerning. So who did you ask that question to?
Well, Bo took umbrage to the word concerning.
Well, I just,
was like, I think that's an overreaction.
Five plays in training camp. That's all I'm saying, but it's fair. Help us break this tie, Sheil. Rashad Smith, would you go Thummingbird up or Thummingbird down on his performance at camp so far?
I mean, you know, that was my listing on my drive from no. to Owings Mills. And my God, did you not hear my speech about being entertaining? and wanted to hang out. I mean, what was that? Unbelievable. The thing about the guy buttering up the ref, who no one even knows what you're talking about. I mean, that was really, I felt like I needed to call you guys right away and give you a motivational speech. I mean, I'm not trying to tumble down these Apple podcast rankings during training camp while I'm trying to do a little tour. Do I need to come there and babysit you or vet these topics before you start or what?
Yes, that's clearly what's going on. That's why we have to call you right now.
Podcast, are we doing every player? And you said yes. I mean, I had no idea at that point you were going to do every player.
How about would you be interested in like a 5 minute, a 5 minute tangent on whether Landon Dickerson should start the season on the NFI list or not?
I mean, no. I mean, these are things I would literally be interested in. Anything, you know, you could name pretty much any topic. I would be more interested in than some of these. Now, maybe the listening audience disagrees. I don't think so. I think I've got the pulse of the audience pretty well. And so we need to, I don't know if it's some more preparation, some more segments that you need to, I know it's hard. You're doing daily podcasts for training camp. It's hard to stay fresh and be entertaining, but you know, what is it, Zach? The standard is the standard. Is that one of your sayings?
Absolutely. I believe in that. You get better, you get worse. You don't say the same.
Well, you know, you've got to go, we've got to go, but I should ask, did you at least, in terms of hanging out, did you at least get to enjoy listening to a good amount of Marissa on the podcast the other day?
I did, yes. That one was obviously much more entertaining. Now, you know, it really struck a chord when Marissa was talking about, you know, the important things in life. I felt like she was directly pointing to, you know, me and my Instagram following. types of things you really need to make sure, you know. I will admit, you know, listening to that and then thinking, man, Marissa has like offered to you know, help me with the Instagram thing, with getting the guide out. These seem to be like some trivial things that I'm calling on Marissa to help out with. But no, that was fantastic. You know, there were some allergies in the Capadia household, I think, by multiple members. And I will say, the smart TV, which we recently got in the Capadia household, really changes the dynamics of these YouTube pods. Because I had that bad boy on a big screen. I
ooh, interesting.
A photo, I forgot. I didn't get a great photo, and it was like dark. But yeah, it's it totally changes it. I feel like, you know, I don't know when the team is. Maybe it'll be this year if the team gets hot, or if you reach a point where there's a lot of interest, like doing those daily at the same time. You know, people with smart TVs, you know, even if you don't have a smart TV, you can, of course, log on to the YouTube app. But I do think it's a bit of a game changer.
There you go.
I'm in State College. Welcome to the borough of State College. Here I am on Atherton Street.
Home of Daniel Gallen.
Home of Daniel Gallen, who I hope to run into this evening.
There you go. Zach, you got anything else for Dr. K?
No, yeah. I love going to college campuses, so enjoy.
Thank you.
Let's keep that. Can we get that as a drop, please?
No, not in like a bad way. College towns have a certain energy to them. There's always,
yeah, I understand, but I still always think that's a funny drop.
There's always good places to eat. You know that you can find good food at good prices usually. Yeah, I enjoyed going to Madison with you last year. I always look forward to a college town. When I was on the college beat, one of the great things was going to these different college towns. And yeah, there's an energy to college towns. So I stand by that comment.
I agree with that. I like a college town. Now, I haven't been to a college town in a long time. I don't recognize a lot of these places. And as I was saying, you know, I don't know if it's just getting older, but I went to the bathroom in Camp Hill at the coffee place, and that was like an hour and a half ago. And now I feel like my bladder is about to explode here. So I don't know if I need to see a doctor while I'm in State College, if they have some type of place that could help me out. But this is not enjoyable for these road trips. You know, when we were kids, no one cared about hydration. And now everyone cares about hydration. I'm trying to hydrate, and I got to go to the bathroom every hour and a half.
And that's why we get our Element. This whole segment has been a long sponsored piece of content for Element. Get yours today at drinkelement.com/birdwithfriends. Okay, Shiel, you're off to Buffalo tomorrow, and we will maybe we'll talk to you then. Not tomorrow, but maybe Monday.
All right, Monday afternoon or evening, I will be driving from Buffalo to Cleveland. So I will be in the car for that stretch. Maybe don't call when I'm 10 minutes from Marissa's hometown.
Well, we can't make any promises, but we're certainly looking forward to getting the lowdown from both of you meeting each other in person for the first time. Does the other exist?
Make sure you wear shorts.
Oh, yeah, you got to do something weird with your legs, Shiel.
Yeah, no, my legs, I would describe them as skinny, hairy chicken legs. So I'm looking forward to seeing those in a couple days.
All right, well, that'll do it for this episode of Birds with Friends. For Zach, Shiel, and Marissa, I'm Bo, and as always, we love you.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.